What's up, you guys? Welcome back to the Training Stage Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler, and joining me... I'm being told that this is actually the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. And thank God someone caught that in time. Could you imagine if that was allowed to go on too long? That might have been embarrassing.
Damn.
Thank God nothing like that happened anywhere else. Wint. And with me, I have...
Hi, I don't work at Guitar Center. My name is Alex.
And?
Hello, I'm Morgan, in case you don't recognize this voice. Yes, this is actually my actual voice. This is a new mic. I finally got new tech.
Man, this
hooray!
I tell you, that's going to make things so much easier for me, because I don't have to worry about, like, running, like, the fucking noise reduction over his track, like, three times over, you know? And then just, like, amplifying segment by segment.
Got a mic with an actual pop cover to it.
Yeah.
Finally.
Maybe I ought to get one of those.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I get paid tomorrow, so woo! By the way, speaking of things happening, how about those Academy Awards?
Oof. I'd sure hate to be that guy.
Jeez, that's just... Oh, my... Okay, I'm honestly trying to figure out how you do, like, how do you screw up on something like that? Because I've seen, like, many of the pictures from, like, the stage event, and you can, like, see. You can see, like, on the back of the envelope what award it's supposed to be for. Like, couldn't he have, like, I don't know, read it and be like, this is the wrong award?
Well, obviously, the accountant was too busy taking pictures of Emma Stone for some reason. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, okay, one, whoever the stagehand was that had to hand out the envelope can presumably read. And second, I know Warren Beatty is old as hell, but I'm sure he can read, right?
Not just him, but Faye Dunaway, too.
Yes. But either way, I'm just happy that La La Land didn't get the Best Picture Oscar.
Thank God.
Yeah.
All hail the 305, bitches.
I am so glad Moonlight won. That to me, is one of the best movies of last year. Up to me, of those nine nominees.
Unfortunately,
can we just do away with the notion of, wow, I've never heard of any of these movies. I guess nobody else has. Like, that is the first way to identify an uppity cunt.
I bet it is. Although I'm still pissed they didn't give the Best Picture Oscar to Mad Max Fury Road last year. Come on, what the hell? God damn it, I'm still mad about that.
And how does Charlize Theron get snubbed for that award? And how did George Moore not win either? Come on.
The world is a cruel, cruel place. The same kind of cruel place that forces us to acknowledge that Suicide Squad won an Oscar.
Boo!
They went for makeup.
Yeah, I know it's makeup, and in the grand scheme of things, that's a pity Oscar, air quotes. But come on, you nominated Star Trek Beyond, and the makeup effects on that were fantastic. Like, way more work than I'm sure went into Suicide Squad.
Bullshit. I hear all them DC fanboys salivating at that fucking thing even...
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're all laughing at Doctor Strange because it didn't win, even though it should have won.
Yeah, I mean, it should have won visual effects. I mean, Jungle Book looked good too, even though it's mostly like a green screen thing, but it still looked right. It still looked good, but Doctor Strange got the most eye peeling visual effects. For real?
Yeah, it's just. You know, like we said when we were talking about the Grammys, you can never expect an award show for anything to get everything right. I mean, for fuck's sake, they actually let La La Land win Best Score. Even though it should have gone to either Moonlight or my homegirl, Mikachu, for Jackie.
And update, we still don't know who the fuck Kevin is.
No clue.
Not to mention, Lin-Manuel Miranda got screwed out of his PGOT.
Oh yeah.
Wait, what the hell is a PGOT?
Pulitzer, Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. It's usually the EGOT, but, you know, he won a Pulitzer Prize, so it would be the PGOT.
Ah, well, that's news to me. Then again, I didn't think the music in Moana was all that great. Like, it was okay, but it was just kind of, you know, standard Disney, you know, musical stuff. Not their best, not their worst.
Yeah, but I'm not my knees. Who do you think is what's the better one?
Well, I don't know. Like, out of all the original songs, like, I only thought they were all okay. I mean, well, let's put it like this. At least it wasn't that fucking song from Trolls.
Oh, yeah. But we could all take comfort in the fact that 3-6 Mafia won an Oscar in 2006.
Woo!
Yeah, yeah.
And I bet you it still smells good.
As fresh as when it first came out. So anyway, that's enough Oscar talk. So how have you guys been?
Well, things at work have finally started to settle after 3 weeks of, you know, bullshit. Which means I now have time to do other things, like go to Guitar Center to practice my drum technique, which I got the hand, I just need to work on my feet. Oh, and funny anecdotes. A guy actually wanted me to help him pick out a guitar for one of his friend's sons because he's just starting out, and I'm just going there like, okay, well, you know, this one will do you fine. It's less than $200. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know if they thought I work there because I'm just dressed in a t-shirt and, you know, gym shorts. That was weird.
Yes, the standard attire of all, you know, Guitar Center employees.
Yeah. But yes. aside from that, I'm in my final month of school. Hooray!
Woo!
Yeah. Yay! So in about 4 weeks, I will not only have my degree, I'll be graduated, and I'll be done with school forever. I'm not doing grad school, I'm not doing any of that. Nothing. I'm done. Done enough of it for the past 20 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And to commemorate this, I went ahead and bought myself an early graduation present. Or two, actually. I got an NES Classic, finally. It was in stock at Amazon last week. And, I'm getting mine to the Switch. Woohoo!
Yes, by the time this episode's out, Alex will be enjoying Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, me and Tyler both.
Yeah, meanwhile, I'm sitting here contemplating if I want to buy the Switch at launch, or if I should wait until the holidays when maybe there'll be a bundle with some extra shit.
You're better off waiting. I'm only buying it now because I have the money, which is due to my tax return and working a lot of hours, which is kind of why this episode's late.
Yeah, we're recording this on a Thursday, so it's probably...
It finally happened. It took 23 episodes, but it finally happened.
Yep.
Yeah, this one's... Well, I mean, this isn't the first time an episode's gone up late. Remember way back when, within, like, the first 10 or so episodes of this podcast, when I got, like, a freaking bronchial... I had freaking bronchitis, and I couldn't finish editing until, like, the Sunday of that week.
Yeah, but a little behind-the-scenes fact. The scheduling of us doing this show is predicated around my work schedule, because it's very erratic and it's never steady. Although I'm working on that.
Yeah.
That's, sure enough, I had to work this Monday and Wednesday, so this episode's coming out on a Sunday. Sorry, guys.
That's cool. How things been going with you, Mark?
Well, as you notice, last weekend I got my tax return, and of course that's been on this new mic, because I really fucking need a new mic.
Woo!
I'm so glad I got this. This sounds so excellent. It sounds so great.
Now everybody can hear that silky smooth baritone of yours.
Yes. Oh, and one more thing. I saw John Wick, I think, 2 days ago, part two. Damn good action movie.
Yes, very good indeed. Man, that reminds me. If I manage to finish editing, sometime before, like, the weekend's over, I gotta get out to the theaters, because I gotta watch fucking Get Out.
Oh, man. I've heard a lot of good things about that. I've been wanting to see that.
Yeah. Gotta see that. Gotta see John Wick. Gotta see Logan.
That. And don't forget, next week, Kong Skull Island.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
which will be, I guarantee you, the second best movie about mutant apes that you'll see all year. Seriously, you guys have no idea how much I'm looking forward to War for the Planet of the Apes. That's like my most anticipated movie of the year. But that's not until summer, so it's a ways away. So, yeah, that's it for the formalities. We should probably, you know, dive straight into the music for this week. We got quite a bit of stuff to go through here. As always, there'll be a link down in the description to a playlist of all the songs we talk about this week, so you can hear, judge for yourself, and, you know, comment as you're following along. Or make fun of us if we say something mean about someone you like. Which, who cares?
Although I'm sure there will be many mean things said this week.
Oh, there will be.
But, starting things off, let's start with something that I have a few nice things to say about. So, last week we opened up by talking about a new song from Pharmacon, an artist who was featured on the Adult Swim Noise compilation. Now, we have another artist who was featured on that same compilation, Arca, a Venezuelan electronic music producer who some of you may be familiar with. He's actually had some, what you call some somewhat high-profile production work. Perhaps most notably, he's produced some tracks for alternative R&B artist FKA Twigs, and a handful of tracks on Kanye West's Yeezus album. Well, don't all, like, clamor at once, people. Yes, I'm the one person on this podcast who's heard Yeezus, I think.
That wasn't Yeezus before.
No, I mean Yeezus, the album, Yeezus.
That's what I meant.
Did you, Mork? Did you? Sorry. Anyway, so Arca's got a new album coming out April 7th, I believe. The name of which currently... Oh, self-titled album coming out... April 7th, self-titled. And we got, in the meantime, two songs that came from that album. One called Piel and the other called Anoche, which I'm not sure what either of those translate to. Someone who speaks Spanish, help me out here.
Yes, help the Cuban speak Spanish.
Hey, I grew up in a household that spoke both English and Spanish. I just chose the one that was most convenient.
So did I, Robert. So did I.
Yeah, but you're Italian.
What's your point?
That language barrier does not apply to you. You're supposed to be, I don't know, talking like, hey, pizza, pasta, Super Mario Brothers, Bryce Papenbrook, and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Hell, God, he can't do that tie act to save his life. I hate you, Bryce Papenbrook. I hate you.
But getting back on topic, so I'm going to start with the first of these, Biel. There's, you know, it is kind of a moody, ominous kind of piece with a lot of metallic wailing, kind of like that ringing you always hear in your ears just at all times, kind of just like amped up. And there's this soft female Latin vocal thing going on. I thought it was, you know, an okay song. Pretty moody and ominous. Pretty much what I expect from this person. And then there's the other track, Anoche, which is sort of in the same vein, a pretty moody, low-key song with a lot of, you know, Latin vocals, but this one's more melodramatic than it is ominous because, you know, of the way the vocals are layered on top and how they echo, and not to mention there's a lot of warbled, distorted piano keys throughout the track, but both of them sort of show, like, the different ways that, like, Arca can apply his sound, and, you know, I liked his previous album, so I'm kind of looking forward to this one. Maybe it'll be a decent listen based off these songs.
Yeah. These are pretty good songs. I like the kind of moody feel Anoche has, but with PL, the first half of that song pierces my ears. There's just those pure sine waves at the start. Ow. Okay, ow. But yeah, the second half where it gets all, you know, ambient and, you know, terrifyingly moody. I like that part. It builds to the atmosphere of what it's trying to set out to accomplish. But man, those sine waves. Ow.
Ah, you poor thing. So, yeah, you'll have a new ARC album to look forward to April 7th. Which, you know, could be good. Wondering if it'll be any better than Mutant, I believe was their last one. So, moving on from that. The band At The Drive-In has been you know, stirring up some hype as they've reunited and, you know, been releasing some material recently. Like, they released a new song, I forget how many months ago, which was a pretty good song. And now, not only have they released another new song titled Incurably Innocent, but this follows with the announcement of the first At The Drive-In album in 17 years, titled Inter Alia, due out May 5th. Although you may have to fiddle around with that spelling, since there's some weird dots when you look at the official styling of the title. So, yeah, I really liked the first single that they came out with from this album. I blank on what the name was, but it had a lot of pretty cool compositional things going on and some great lyricism. But this one, I don't know, this song just kind of feels like it's a sort of jogging in place song. Like, the main thing I sort of got from it, from listening to, like, the guitars and the vocal melodies, was that it almost feels like they only wrote, like, half a melody. Like, wherever, like, where's the other half of the melody to, like, this, you know, to the guitars or this, like, or the chorus or anything, you know? And it's just not a particularly interesting song, like, either musically or lyrically. Like, okay, I know they're signed to Rise Records currently, but why do they have to sound like a product of Rise Records, you know?
Yeah. From what it's worth, it comes across as pretty solid in the middle. Would it be fair to call them pop punk? Because that's what it sounds like to me.
I don't know. Pop punk kind of seems like a gross misnomer here. And trust me, I know, because I listened to a bunch of At The Drive-In a few months ago. So,
well, I don't want to call them, you know, post-hardcore, like freaking ADTR or anything like that. What would you classify them as anyway?
I mean, I would say, like, you know, more post-hardcore. Because, again, they were a product of, like, the mid to late 90s. So that's when post-hardcore, you know, wasn't so intermingled with, like, the Warped Tour metalcore sound. So, yeah, I'd say post-hardcore, more generally.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly a solid step up compared to A Day to Remember and Bring Me the Horizon and all those bands. It's solid enough for my ears.
I don't know. So, I'm thinking we've had one pretty good song. We have an okay song. Maybe the full thing will be more interesting. I guess this is just, like, the big promotional single thing, you know? And obviously you gotta go with the catchiest one. More mainstreaming, so to speak.
It's what gets on college radio. You know that, Rob.
Yes, I do. If I ever worked at college radio, instead of just listening to it.
You know people who work at college radio.
Yes, I do. And I gotta see if there's an opening there. So anyway, moving on from that to more straight up metal. You know, maybe one day I'll find a black metal band that interests me. Someone other than Emperor, but I kind of doubt it's going to be this band, Ghost Bath. Now, I've heard a couple of their songs before, and the main vibe I get, they exist in that same kind of shoegazy black metal trend like bands like Death Heaven do. And okay, so they announced a new album coming out April 21st called Star Mourner, and the first single they released, Thrones, which is, you know, just like 6 minutes of wasted time as far as I'm concerned. Just like all black metal, it feels like it drags on for twice as long as it actually needs to. It sounds, you know, it's your typical melancholic as hell black metal, like the first minute and a half just kind of grinds monotonously against your senses with, like, the guitars and the very, like, shrieked vocals. And then, like, after that point, there's this weird, like, little bridge thing where, like, the guitar melody suddenly gets all, like, chipper and vaguely happy sounding. That's sort of where, I guess, the Death Heaven-esque parts kick in, you know?
Yeah, I'll just quote the Lamb Goat article. It says, Star Mourner takes these concepts to a higher level. It explores joy instead of sorrow, the cosmos instead of Earth, and paradise instead of purgatory. But more importantly, it explores ecstasy instead of tragedy as its basic human emotion. What the hell kind of synopsis is that?
What do you expect, man? Like, you and I both know that black metal is the only genre that major music publications are willing to acknowledge as artistically significant, so they have to come up with these kind of stupid promotional gimmicks. How else are they going to land at number 15 on Pitchfork's year-end countdown?
This is a weird song, by the way. It has the, you know, the typical black metal intro. Then it goes into a weird metalcore section with the drums and the guitar. It sounds like every basic metalcore bridge section I've ever heard. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, and truth be told, like, I heard the song twice, but I'm really struggling to remember the back half of it. Like, I can only remember the first 3 minutes. That's how kind of in one ear and out the other this thing is.
Jesus. Yeah, you know how I feel about black metal, so, well, it got my interest for a minute with that weird metalcore section in the middle.
But, yeah, I guess if you're into Ghost Bat, this'll do something for you, I guess. And this is the part where all my metal friends jump down my throat because I don't bow down to the greatness of black metal, the most diverse of all metal genres. Yeah, bite me.
Oh, you mean like Mark's friends who are just going right down his throat because he's not super enthusiastic over your roommate back in Boulder?
What the fuck did you just say?
Oh, hey, welcome back.
Well, it's a good thing we got Mark back, because I imagine he, as well as Alex and I, will have some choice words for this next song. I don't really know what to say here, except it's a Calvin Harris track with Frank Ocean and Migos. Yeah, those three things apparently go together. So it's this new song called Slide. I mean, as far as the actual beat, which I guess is the main, you know, Calvin Harris part, it's okay. It's a, you know, basic kind of sensual R&B thing, but, you know, it and the groovy bass, you know, it gets the job done. And Frank Ocean, being one of, you know, the, like, top R&B singers currently active, he brings his thing, and it's very, you know, romantic, all things considered. And then Migos opens his mouth. Or their mouth. How many people are in Migos, anyway?
Three.
Fucking three? Jesus Christ. I can't even tell who's who. I thought it was just the guy who was like Raindrop, Drop Top, Cooking Up Cushion, the Crockpot, or whatever.
Okay, the members are Quavo, Offset, and Takeoff.
These all sound like names of characters from Borderlands. But whatever. So, okay, there's only two things I want to say about like Migos' part here. There's two lyrics that make no sense to me. There's a random line where he's just like, something, something, smoke gelato. Okay, Alex, you're of Italian descent. Help me out here. How do I smoke gelato?
Well, you gotta get it in a bong, light the lighter, and just inhale.
You know what I mean. How do you put gelato in a smokable form?
I don't really know, but hey, if they can make a vinyl record out of weed, anything's possible.
I guess. And then there's
that's
the other
a callback,
line.
Kids.
And then there's this other line here. Bitch will be dipping, dabbing with niggas like a nacho. What the That's okay. Literally in my notes. Like, I wrote down the line and then said, what the fuck, Migos?
Okay, to me, like, when I was tracked the first time, I was thinking, this sounds more like something I expect off his last album. Like, this is something I would expect from Blonde, but it was like, this sounds more Frank Ocean and Calvin Harris for the most part. I mean, it sounds better than most other Calvin Harris songs, to be honest. And like I said, Frank Ocean did his thing on the song, and so did Migos.
Like a nacho? What the fuck? Has Migos never had a plate of nachos?
Apparently not.
I'm pretty sure they serve nachos in Atlanta. Gonna have Mexican restaurants down there. You know, when he's not eating, you know, friggin' ramen noodles out of, you know, designer Gucci, like, friggin' cup holder things.
That's who they are? Oh my god.
Yeah, the Bad and Bougie guys.
Oh. Okay.
And also, they're the guys you saw in Atlanta in episode 3, I think.
Okay.
The one where Paperboy and people. Well, what did the went to the you know divorce to meet them guys?
Oh yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was the best episodes.
Okay. I gotta mention this because otherwise I'm never going to. Recently, I've become more acquainted with current pop music because if I don't, I'll just be ignorant to all this kind of stuff. So, over the past couple of weeks, I've been watching a lot of Todd in the Shadows videos, and my results from this bold venture. There's a lot of really mediocre pop music nowadays. If it's not depressing, it's mediocre. If it's not mediocre, it's laughably terrible. Look at you, Shawn Mendes.
We're not going to do that joke here. We're not going to do the joke. No one. But yeah, so basically, yeah, you want to say something?
Yeah, but like I said, the song's okay. I'm fine with it.
So a good Calvin Harris beat. Good Frank Ocean vocals and whatever the fuck Migos is doing. In the words of Meatloaf, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah, it's all right. It's passable.
So now, let's move on to something that isn't passable. Our dear old friend, Young Thug. You know, that guy with the dreads who kind of sounds like Future on Helium. Yeah, he released a new song and video titled Safe, which is. Look, it's basically every Young Thug song up to this point. It's just your basic trap beat with a pseudo R&B thing going on. Him with his very strained vocal delivery, which I swear to God, the way he raps, like, and you're gonna laugh when I say this, the way he raps kind of sounds like Mark's audio before I actually start editing that shit.
Wow.
Okay.
It has the same kind of like really choppy where it almost sounds like he said like 5 different takes and they're trying to stitch them together into something coherent. Like I said, like Future on Helium.
Okay.
So, sorry to throw you under the bus like that, Mark.
Well, damn. Okay. I mean, I got a deeper voice than Young Thug.
Yeah, but you know what I mean by, like, the freaking chopped up, like...
Okay, I do get it. But yeah, I ain't got much to say about this here. Like, this is, like, you know, typical Young Thug song. He's that type of person that's like, oh, okay, he's there. All right. I'm gonna go ahead. Like, I'm gonna go the other way.
Yeah.
I have very, very neutral feelings about this song. Like, no.
He's probably, out of all modern, like, big-name mainstream rappers nowadays, he easily has the most annoying voice out of all of them. That's saying a lot. Because, obviously, Future exists. This guy, his voice somehow gets on my nerves more than fucking Lil Uzi Vert. Ouch. But, whatever, friggin' Young Thugga stands are probably gonna be jumping down my throat about this. I hear you typing angrily, Trevor. But whatever, I guess people still like this guy and we still gotta deal with his ass. Speaking of people we still gotta deal with, Gucci Mane. AKA, Why Are You Famous Again? Yeah, he's got a new song out, you know, because when doesn't he have new shit out? Like, for fuck's sake, he craps out shit more frequently than Future. And need I remind you, yes, Future really did put out 2 albums in 2 weeks.
Future and Hendrix.
And a third album, apparently.
No, that was disproven.
Oh,
thankfully.
Thank God.
But yeah, he's got a new song out called Make Love, featuring Nicki Minaj, because of course. And you know, again, trappy, you've heard a million times before. Gucci rapping about drugs and how he wants to specifically have sex with your girlfriend. Because, I don't know, people get off on that. I mean, isn't that literal cuckoldry? And not the kind of cuckoldry that YouTube trolls like to think everyone else is engaged in.
Mm.
That's douchebag. And then, you know, Nicki gets on the track and... You know, she's vaguely tolerable, then she gets into her annoying Nicki-isms where she, like, will fucking draw out a syllable in the most annoying tone of voice possible. Like, I think, or whatever, who cares. There's only really one thing of note that she says in this whole song, and I don't know the specific word for wording because I didn't care enough to write down specifically. I just know there's a point where she says she calls herself better than Kendrick Lamar and Sia.
Yeah, I'll read the lyrics because I have them up on here. I'm a yes. Oh, these bitches is a bunch of nahs trying to win a gunfight with a bunch of knives. I win, get off the bench, and get a bunch of fives. I don't see her, bitch. I'm the greatest. No Kendrick and no Sia. I'm the iPhone, the Nokia, like that.
Okay, I got two things to say. Yeah, no wonder why Remy Ma dissed you this weekend, because, wow, that shit is so false. And two, I know people are really not that high on that Kendrick Lamar Sia track that they're in, but at least it's better than this. Because this shit sounds wonky. You know, it sounds like Baby's First Trap Song.
When I see Nicki Minaj, I see so much wasted potential. There is untapped talent in there, but it's just wasted on songs like this and Stupid Ho and that foursome song she did with Chris Brown, Lil Wayne, and Drake.
Real niggas only, bad bitches only, independent bitches only.
Why do you do this to me, Nicki? I want to like you, but you keep doing this stupid shit over and over again.
And by the way, Nicki, why would you say that Nokia phones are bad? Have you seen those things? They could take a fucking pounding. And yes, that was an attempt at a sex joke.
At least won't explode like Samsung.
Hey, I have a Samsung. What you got against those?
Well, if it explodes in your pants, well, let's just say it's going to be the phone and not you.
Or CeeLo's face.
Hey. Hey, I will have you know, that is only the Note 7. I have the regular S7, so I'm good. So, yeah, that was a waste of a song of two people who... Can't they be doing anything better with their time? And speaking of people who should have better things to do with their time to make music, the Chainsmokers. And Coldplay.
God.
Yeah, so apparently not content with ruining the IT radio waves with two mediocre dance songs, they've released another one, apparently part of an album. Dear God, just say that out loud to yourself. The Chainsmokers doing an entire album. They could barely finish a song. But yeah, they got something coming out on April 7th called Memories Do Not Open. And so they've released a song called Something Just Like This. It's a collaboration with the band Coldplay. Who, how is this band still a thing? Like, seriously. I remember watching that Todd in the Shadows countdown of his top 10 favorite songs of 2016. When he said Coldplay, I'm like, I thought they broke up or died.
Well, to be fair, that one song he chose is actually pretty good. Not great, but it's good.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. Like, when Coldplay, this is now they've gone like full pop, I think.
It's the least Coldplay-sounding Coldplay song ever. Pretty much. Which actually works.
But, yeah, with this song, I mean... Okay, so to start off, obviously, with, I guess, the lyrics, which aren't the worst I've ever heard. Like, I've heard worse lyrics on other Chainsmoker songs, although this one, lyrically, is in the same ballpark as... God, what was it? The one about the backseat of the Rover or whatever? In the sense that it's a song more or less about realistic expectations of romance. Like, they're singing about, oh, I don't need a partner who's like a fucking superhero like Superman or Spider-Man or Batman. I just need something just like this. Aww. And then, you know, the chorus kicks in and it just sounds like every Chainsmoker song. Although, I guess, marginally less annoying. That's not saying much. That's like grading on a curve.
Whoever decided the Chainsmokers should be pop stars should be fired and killed in very painful ways.
Well, you said everything I was going to say.
Oh, and Todd, Closer was not the best song of 2016, alright? It's not even the 10th best song of 2016.
Well, you heard his list, his rules. Just like if he was running a dog show, then Amy Bug Squish would be the best dog.
I mean, it's just so bleak and roommate back in Boulder. What the hell do I have to say to that?
Hey, man, 2016 was a bleak year, so it was like the perfect song for that.
24K Magic! Come on!
That is true. And yes, Amy Bug Squish is the best dog squish. Squishy.
We need someone to come back and show all this current pop shit how to do it right. Someone who maybe doubles as Randy Marsh from South Park.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
We are now at the very last song of the week, and one that is actually the biggest song of the week. So maybe this whole delayed recording worked out in our favor. Yes. As I'm sure you remember from 4 years ago, a little song called Royals by a pop singer named Lord, who quickly became the new hot thing in music. And then she, I guess, I'm not sure what she was doing between 2013 and now. I honestly don't remember.
Okay, I know 2014 she was on the Hunger Games, what's the Catching Fire Part 1 soundtrack?
Oh.
And then after that, nothing else. Like, I guess she, I don't know, hot or something.
But, yeah. Good old Lord, she is in fact back. After teasing the release of a new song, we now have that new song with the title of Green Light from her upcoming sophomore album, Melodrama, that we don't have a release date for. Now, obviously, expectations are high because, again, remember, Royals was fucking huge. So it's kind of, everyone's just kind of sitting wondering where exactly does she go from, like, singles like that to crying mainstream pop stuff and all that. Well, if anyone's expecting Royals 2, then you have to look elsewhere. The song, okay, lyrically, it might sound a little conventional by Lord standards because it's about heartbreak. Like, she's more or less singing about a guy that basically, like, screwed her over romantically speaking. Like, she thought she was in love, but the guy was, like, you know, running, like, around behind her back, cheating on her, all that bullshit, and she's just so frustrated and can't deal with it. And, you know, it's a little straightforward, maybe, but she keeps it, you know, pretty interesting with some decent lyrics here and there. Not to mention a pretty interesting, like, pre-chorus vocal phrasing where she's, like, singing, you know, really rapid fire, kinda. And the beat itself, that might throw a lot of people off because it's definitely more fully produced than some of her last singles. Like, it has this really, like, bouncy drum and piano, like, beat going on. I almost want to say it kind of sounds like the opening song of Persona 4. But
yeah, it's a good little blend of this kind of downbeat, moody piano ballad song, and then it just progresses into a pretty upbeat, you know, dancing on the floor pop song. It's interesting, but it works.
Complete with pounding drums and stuff. I always do have me a soft spot for some loud drum hits. So
yeah, that's pretty solid.
Yeah, good to have Lord back. This is, I kind of feel like people are going to unfairly expect, like I said, I think people are unfairly going to expect the Royals 2 and not going to, like, see this song for what it is, because it's good for, like, what it is on its own merits, but I just feel like people expecting that are probably going to come in like, what is this?
Let's just hope this will get rid of all the friggin' Lord clones. We don't need any songs about Peter Pan and Wendy or anything like that.
Thank God. Thank God. We have the real deal, and we don't have to settle for, you know, store brand.
Welcome back, Lord. We've missed you.
Yeah. So, yeah, that basically covers all the new songs for this week. So, when we come back, we're going to have some news to talk about. And, boy, do we have quite a bit to get through. So, see you later, kids. And we're back. So, we got quite a bit of other news topics to go through. So, starting right from the top, it's an unfortunate fact of life that assholes have hobbies too. We can't assume that everyone who shares our interests are good or decent people. Assholes gotta find ways to fill their time too. And they do it by, you know, whether it be like arts and crafts, cooking or firing, you know, cans in the backyard with a 22-inch whatever, or listening to music. Case in point, Richard Spencer, everyone's favorite literal punching bag.
Oh, yeah, that guy. The guy who got crying like a bitch after he got punched in the face.
Vulgar display of power, motherfuckers! Boom!
Also, happy 25th anniversary, Vulgar Display of Power. You were the best Pantera album, not named Far Beyond Driven.
Haha, this is true. So, recently he's been, you know, back in the news again, apparently getting booted from the conservative CPAC, whatever CPAC stands for. I'm not completely sure on the specifics, but I know it's a big conservative thing.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, it's been reported that apparently, like, while he was being escorted from the event, someone asked if he liked rock music, and he made the claim that, quote, Depeche Mode is the official band of the alt-right. Fucking Christ, what the hell did Depeche Mode ever do to you? By the way, let's get the obvious joke out of the way. Reach out and punch me. I love making that joke. Now, it's kind of a weird thing to make when you're getting dragged out of a conservative convention. You know, one that you think would embrace this fucking, you know, white nationalist bullshit. Because, let's be honest, they're not looking out for anyone else but white boys. And I don't care what you fucking spammers in the surreal resolution comments say. Fuck Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a spokesperson for the band was actually reached out to comment on this, and what they said was, and I quote, "The claim was really ridiculous. Depeche Mode has no ties to Richard Spencer or the alt-right, and he does not, and we do not support the alt-right movement." Which, of course, who would? They're neo-Nazis, man.
You'd be surprised.
Yes, yes, I know, the internet. And he claimed later that, "I was joking, obviously, but I am a lifelong Depeche Mode fan."
Oh, boy.
But, you know, it's funny to hear when, you know, this band talks shit about an asshole like this. It makes the world feel a tiny bit better, even though we're all probably going to die in a nuclear holocaust in the next month.
Man, you know, it takes a lot to get kicked out of the CPAC convention. I mean, you have to be into, like, I don't know, some weird thing like pedophilia to get kicked out of it. Oh,
hey,
Milo, that's right,
he'll have you know it's hemophilia and there's totally a difference. I mean, there isn't, but sure, let's pretend that there is.
He's such a piece of shit.
Yeah, he's got a huge fucking ego, the kind of ego that makes you think if he could, he'd probably spend a bunch of money on a giant solid gold statue of himself. Speaking of which, apparently a solid gold statue of Kanye appeared in Hollywood Boulevard.
Well, I mean, who's surprised? Come on.
Yes. Okay, so, actually getting
into this.
Golden
Yeezus.
Yeah, yes, we're taking Yeezus quite literally here. Now, the statue, which apparently depicts Kanye with a crown of thorns, nails through his hands, and of course wearing Yeezys, appeared in Los Angeles, and it was made by a street artist named Plastic Jesus. Oh my god.
Plastic Jesus?
Yeah, so we go from personal Jesus to Plastic Jesus for Yeezus. I don't know, Jesus for Yeezus. Oh my god. Yeah. His freaking... Yeah, this just showed up in, like, Hollywood Boulevard in the past week. And funny thing, the guy... The street art who made this, he was interviewed by the Hollywood Reporter, and he said, quote, "West is a genius at writing and producing, but he's not a god, and that's where we put him. Until there's an issue in his life or a hiccup in his career, then we crucify him. By all means, treat and respect these people are artists, but don't make them into gods." Oh, okay, so it's supposed to be one of those ironic statue things.
Wait. So, a hiccup in his career? Isn't that what we called the life of Pablo?
Actually, I thought that's what we called Yeezus. And for a second, no, isn't that what we were saying about my beautiful, dark, twisted fantasy as well?
I was thinking it's a heartbreak.
God.
So we've had like three or four hiccups, depending on your perspective. And okay, Mark, I know this is gonna piss you off, but I actually would defend 808s and Heartbreaks before I defend the other three. Sorry. But like, okay, if this is supposed to be ironic, like, okay, dude, you realize this isn't gonna work. It's Kanye. This is how he already sees himself to begin with. Like, this just seems like a waste of resources, man. You could have built a solid gold statue of literally anyone else. Like, I don't know. Mickey Mouse?
They probably... Kobe Bryant? I mean, you're in L.A.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Or, you know, Barry Jenkins. Why didn't he get the Best Directing Oscar? I just don't understand this world anymore.
The same reason why George Miller didn't. Hollywood doesn't know what they're talking about.
And yeah, apparently the statue is also going to be part of an art exhibition called Anesthesia, the Art of Oblivion, which is apparently already opened at Gibson Brand Sunset in West Hollywood. So, you know, if you want to see the gold Yeezus statue, then there you go. Just... artist's gonna art, I guess.
Yeah. We need something to pick us up after all this. Something... that makes us think of a fantastic burger place.
Ah, yes. The greatest of all independent burger joints. Simply run by a man named Bob. As he serves up delicious burgers every week, like the Toonami Burger. By the way, I can't believe I missed that the first time watching Bob's Burgers. I don't know why.
Wait, what?
By the way, it's spelled T-U-N-A-M-I, not... You know, the other way.
But you get the joke.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
So if we haven't made it clear by now, we are, of course, talking about the Fox Network sitcom Bob's Burgers. Apparently, there is an album being released courtesy of Sub Pop Records called The Bob's Burgers Music Album on May 12th. It features 112 short songs. I don't know how short, maybe like 30 seconds. From, you know, the various cast members of the show. Obviously, like Kristen Schaal and H. John Benjamin. And presumably whoever plays Linda. I'm blanking on her voice actress's name. I don't know why. There's going to be other comedians involved as well, like Zach Galifianakis, Bill Hader, and Aziz Ansari. And there'll also apparently be some covers of songs from the Bob's Burgers series performed by artists like The National and St. Vincent. Heck, there's already a cover of... there's actually the National song that's apparently already been released, a cover of Bad Stuff Happens in the Bathroom. So, you know, this will be an amusing little novelty thing if you need, like, a funny way to kill some time when you're, I don't know, eating burgers at home, maybe.
And it's on vinyl, so that's incentive for me to go buy it.
Yep, because, you know, Alex is the vinyl nerd here.
Yeah, I am.
So, you know... you'll be able to... there's not much more to say about that. Just, you know, Alex will be able to grab his vinyl copy. You know, just sit back with a nice burger. And then wash it down with a nice can of beer. What kind of beer? Well, who knows? Maybe it'll be this new beer, courtesy of the official best rap group of ever of all time, as designated by this podcast, Run the Jewels. Okay, that's an unofficial declaration, but obviously... we've mentioned it here many times. We're all big Run the Jewels fans.
Yep.
And now, in one of their most recent business ventures, they've apparently got a new beer coming out that's actually already apparently been previewed at one of their Terminal 5 shows in New York City recently. It's Northeastern-style IPA, appropriately named after the track Stay Gold from RTJ3.
And do you want to know where this is also going to be previewed?
Yes, I see. Want to go
here
ahead
in
and tell?
Charlotte.
Yes, you lucky bastard. It'll
Well, don't call me lucky quite yet, because I don't know if this thing is sold out yet, but I'm sure it has. And remember, I don't drink, so it'll be wasted on me.
The October kickoff party in March 14th. Yes, in Alex's neck of the woods. Even then, like, still, you lucky bastard. Maybe you can drag along, I don't know, your boyfriend or something. Have him drink it for you.
He lives in Missouri.
Wait,
he doesn't drink either.
Wait, you're dating someone from Missouri? Huh.
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
Lucky bastard. How do you make long-distance relationships work, and I'm still single?
You have to be good at it. like I have.
Good for you. But yeah, obviously, you know, I do, in fact, anyone who's followed me on Twitter knows I do like me some drinking. Especially when I'm drinking to, you know, get through annoyingly terrible anime. So
every Saturday night.
So, okay, so obviously it has its two preview events. When it'll make, like, a bigger rollout, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be one of those things, you know, kind of like beers put out by bands like Mastodon or Behemoth or, I think, Deftones, where it's got to be only, like, regionally specific. Or if maybe it'll be, like, one of those exclusive, like, maybe if I go to, like, a Total Wine somewhere, they'll have this beer around.
Actually, I just found out this event isn't sold out yet, so I'm going to keep an eye on my work schedule, see if I can make it to this event.
Ah.
Sober, of course, because I don't drink, but any chance to run the Jewels, I'll gladly take it up.
Hey, who knows? Maybe they'll give out free beer, and you don't necessarily have to drink it. You just have to, you know, keep it refrigerated, you know, put it in a cooler, and then mail it to me.
What? Sure. I'll do that when you give me the 20 bucks you still owe me.
20 bucks for what? I don't know what you're talking about.
Remember the bet?
Actually, no, I don't. I'm not even kidding, by the way. I don't remember what the fuck this 20 bucks.
We had a bet over which album would debut at number one, Metallica or Bruno Mars. I said Metallica. I won. You said you'd give me 20 bucks.
Oh, yeah. Jeez, fuck. That was a while ago.
Yeah.
don't worry, I get paid tomorrow, so you'll have your 20, maybe.
Good, because you wouldn't want me to come after you.
Oh, please, like, you'd be able to track down where I live.
3 days later.
Hey.
Knock, knock, knock.
Stay out of this, Mark. It doesn't concern you. But, steering back on topic, in terms of things that will probably make people want to drink, it's Scene Kid Christmas. So remember a few weeks back, we reported on a new song from the band From First to Last, the first in, like, at least 10 years to feature Sonny Moore on vocals, a.k.a. Skrillex, a.k.a. Dub the Wubs. Well, apparently, more activities involving Skrillex and From First to Last have been surfacing recently, including playing him doing vocals on a full set with them at a live show. And now it's been officially confirmed that Sonny Moore has rejoined the band. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, all the Scene Kids are gonna be going fucking nuts over this, man. Mom! Get me the Hot Topic, Mom! Mom! I gotta get new From First to Last shirts!
Who?
So, yeah. I guess if you're still nostalgic for the days when they were still... When Sonny was with them, you could have that to look forward to. Although, who knows how this is gonna interfere with the Skrillex stuff. I mean, if he'll still be producing in his downtime, or if he's putting that on the back burner for now.
I'm sure he's going to collect some royalties over those songs he did with a certain somebody from Canada.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know those songs?
Why did you have to remind me of those?
Oh,
because
yeah.
He put his name on them. He has to live with it, too. Yeah.
Hey, oh, so yeah, does Diplo, I think.
Well, that was on one track.
Yeah.
And on their album as well.
Yeah, that freaking Best Buy jingle or whatever, I think.
That song that used to be in the bumps on Loveline back when it was still on.
Huh. Well, alrighty.
By the way, that and the beat for Stressed Out were on Loveline.
I'll have to take your word for songs. That. I don't know much about Loveline, if anything.
Well, it's dead. Amber Rose killed it.
Yay?
No, not yay. Very nay.
Well, maybe we can move on to news that's a mix of yay and nay. We got a pretty big tour announcement that was teased recently thanks to some, you know, snooping around through scheduled tour dates and such. It appears that Metal Titan Slayer will be hitting the road over the summer, and along with them, they'll be bringing Lamb of God and Behemoth. Two out of three ain't bad.
Nay! Lamb of God. Yay. Behemoth.
Actually, that's... Okay, you swap the reaction for Slayer with Behemoth. I have... Because I've seen Behemoth live before. I saw them when they co-headlined with Cannibal Corpse, and that was a great show.
You know how I feel about Slayer nowadays.
Obviously. So, yeah. But I'm kind of right there with you. Like, okay, Lamb of God, I've seen them live twice. Once when they were touring with Metallica behind Death Magnetic, and then when they were co-headlining with Slipknot. They bring their gay game every time. Behemoth Absolutely. Is pretty killer live. Slayer, I haven't seen them live. I know my friends that are still into Slayer insist that they're great live, but I don't know, man. I just can't see it. Remember, I'm the guy who thinks Slayer's last really great album was 27 years ago.
Yeah, let's never ever forget Seasons in the Abyss.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
Muy perfecto.
The tour starts off July 12th in Bemidji, Minnesota. It's hitting up a couple of festivals along the way, like Chicago Open Air and Rockfest USA. And it ends August 20th in Phoenix, Arizona. And, wow, that's kind of a cool tour poster. Some kind of freaking Cerberus demon thing. And apparently it's only stopping in St. Augustine, Florida, which, St. Augustine, there's nothing to do there. What? Yeah. Why?
Well, I mean, look where they're starting. Bemidji, Minnesota, and Caddo, Wisconsin.
Minnesota.
You say middle of nowhere?
Okay.
You betcha.
Go ahead.
But, you know... Yeah. I guess some people will be looking forward to that. And speaking of headliners to be looking forward to in the future, let's talk Coachella. And no, not the fact that there was a massive security breach there that may have leaked some sensitive information. Sorry about that. Have fun straightening all that out, kiddies. But moving on to the main story here regarding Coachella. Apparently, Queen Bey, who was originally scheduled the headline, has been forced to drop out because, well, she's with children.
Yeah.
And sure, she might have been... She might have been able to perform at, like, you know, the Grammys, but obviously, by the time Coachella rolls around, she'll probably still be, you know, further along in her term. And so began the rumors. Rumors of who could possibly take, you know, Queen Bey's place. And there were a lot of ones floating around, but the one that got the most traction to the point where it was pretty much the official reality, Mother Monster herself, Lady Gaga. She will now be headlining the festival on Saturday in Queen Bey's place, and you'll all have that to look forward to in April.
Wicked.
Right?
Yeah, that'll be some fun. Shit, they even already updated the official tour poster, so, you know, if you really want to sit through some Gucci Mane and DJ Snake in future to get to Lady Gaga, then you can do that.
Oh. I think everybody's going to earn Lady Gaga sitting through all that. Just, ugh.
Well, I mean, at least there's Tycho and Schoolboy Q, I guess.
Okay, then that's good then.
But you know, you kind of have to weigh that out. Like, how much do those matter against, you know, having to sit through future? And Gucci. Those two at once. Why? Just life's not fair.
Oh, this turned sour pretty fast. Let's pick things up by laughing at an idiot from Florida. Yes. And not you, Rob. Another idiot.
Hey, I can't blame you. I mean, I am an idiot. I am from Florida, but thankfully I'm not a Florida idiot. And yes, there's a difference. So, yeah, while there is, unfortunately, no Nash here, we do have a little bit of a what-the-fuck-is-wrong-with-you story here. And let's see where specifically it takes place. It's Port St. Lucie, Florida, a.k.a. the setting of JoJo Part 6. I like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Fight me! With Star Platinum! Ora!
That's going in the drinking game, by the way. JoJo references.
Hey, man, everything is a JoJo reference. Even this podcast is a JoJo reference.
Oh, God.
So, yes, this story concerns a man from Port St. Lucie by the name of Lee Howard Koenig. He was caught engaging in a bit of identity theft. The identity he was stealing in particular, drummer Daniel Adair, the drummer of the band Nickelback. And I have to point this out, because as Alex pointed out, the person who wrote the headline for this specific article was clearly waiting for this opportunity. From the article we're reading from, the headline is, "Unwise man caught impersonating Nickelback drummer, couldn't cut it as a poem and ceiling."
So somebody wants to maybe try to impersonate out there trying to impersonate to be a drummer from Nickelback.
Yeah. This guy never made it as a wise man, obviously.
You're right about that shit.
Yeah. I gotta mention this. Here in Charlotte, we have a radio show that's on every morning. They have a segment called It Happened in Florida, where one of three stories happened in Florida. This was on. This was on the show the other morning. This guy was trying to purchase / steal $25,000 worth of, I believe, microphones.
What?
Fraudulent.
Yeah.
Nah, according to the article, it says he was trying to order, like, drum equipment from a company in Austria.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Okay.
$25,000 worth, apparently.
Oh, my God.
I mean, how stupid do you have to be to not only try and steal $25,000 worth of musical equipment, but to do so while impersonating the drummer from Nickelback? I mean, sure, no one knows what the guy's name is, but can't you have a little more taste than to do that?
Like, dude, I mean, you telling me you couldn't have settled on, like, Rob Thomas or something? Even that's more dignified than the drummer from... You couldn't even try stealing the identity of the one dude from Nickelback that everyone knows, Kroger the Ogre?
The former Mr. Avril Lavigne.
Photograph.
Oh.
And just, okay, you gotta, like, look up this article just to see the picture comparison, because this fucking, the criminal in question, he looks like, he looks like if Meatloaf deflated. And then you see the fucking actual Nickelback drummer, which, you know, holy shit, is that what he looks like? He looks like he's in his 30s. I don't even know how old he is.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Jesus, fuck. But, yeah, that's... Just, remember, kids, don't engage in criminal acts. Don't do anything stupid or illegal. Try to buy things with your own identity. Don't steal the identity of someone you clearly don't look like. And always make sure your food is fresh if you run a restaurant.
Oh.
And so we segue into our final story. Now, as I may have mentioned on this podcast and elsewhere, I am a shameless fan of Gordon Ramsay hosted television shows. I was ever since Hell's Kitchen first premiered on Fox way back when, like, almost 10 years ago. And, you know, I've watched pretty much every season of that. I've watched a lot of, you know, of his other stuff, like The F Word and MasterChef. And, of course, another one of my personal favorites, Kitchen Nightmares, a show in which he would always, you know, go to restaurants that were flailing and needed his help. He would scream at the owners for a bit, fix their shit, and then they would go on to be successful. Unless your name is Amy Buzaglo, in which case he just walks out on your ass. Oh. That is still...
Oh, my God.
That is one of the best things I've still ever seen on television. Holy shit.
Oh,
now, man. That show's been off the air for a while. Like, I think it finished its last season, like, 3 years ago, I want to say. Although I've heard that they're probably retooling the format to, you know, bring it back later. And, oh my God, I so wish this story could be a part of it. So, another tangent here quickly. Obviously, musicians like to engage in other business endeavors, like, you know, clothing lines or restaurants and all that. Shit, I think Alice Cooper has, like, ownership stake in a hot dog restaurant in Vegas. I remember seeing this on Man vs. Food once. So, who's the music artist here in question? Why, none other than Mr. Titty Boy himself, 2 Chainz.
Two Chainz!
Yes, 2 Chainz. Now, apparently, he recently opened a tapas restaurant in Atlanta, Georgia, called Escobar. Tapas apparently being, like, appetizers or whatever. Alex was screaming at me for this before.
Let me know. I had to explain to Rob, the Hispanic of us, what tapas are.
Not all Hispanic people are the same.
You live in Miami!
Yeah, so most of what I see is, like, you know, bakeries and donut shops and Pollo Tropical and Publix.
You fat bastard.
Shut up.
Oh, speaking of Publix, does Jameis Winston ever stop by there anymore?
Jameis who?
You know, the guy who stole a lot of fish from Publix? He went to FSU?
Wait.
I don't know, man. FSU is, like, in more up north to Central Florida.
I think he stole.
How do I know more about Florida than you do?
Look, do I really? I'm geographically challenged, okay? Shut up.
You sound like my mother.
Hey. But yes, the Georgia Department of Public Health recently paid a visit to this restaurant, and according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the inspection didn't go great. They scored Escobar with a grade of 59 out of 100. Now, here's the thing. You only need a score of about 69. Nice.
Nice.
To actually pass, you know, a health inspection by these people. So, like, okay, you basically just need a C-. That's not hard to do. And yet somehow 2 Chainz failed. And trust me, when you hear why he failed, your kids, brace yourselves. You're probably going to want to grab your throat just in case, just to stop anything from coming out. Okay, on the restaurant's report card, there was apparently 14 noteworthy health violations, including, among other things, a, quote, red and black mold-like substance inside the ice machine, raw hamburgers being stored above the collard greens, lobster thawing in sitting water in the sink.
Oh, you never do that at a restaurant.
And expired milk in the fridge.
Oh God, no. Ew.
And quoting further from the article, the inspector also noticed that the kitchen's hand-washing sink didn't have any soap, and that the person in charge seemed to have no idea about several foodborne illness risk factors. I'm telling you, this is fucking Kitchen Nightmares. I'm pretty sure.
Oh God!
I'm pretty sure I've seen this episode. And here's the thing: like when the restaurant first opened last August, it scored a 99 out of 100. Like shit, what happened between then and now?
New management, employee sucking,
dude. Hygiene, man, come on.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, you should keep your shit washing. Yeah, he would not go there.
No.
I'm gagging just thinking about it. Now, okay, the next inspection for Escobar is actually tomorrow from when we're recording this, March 3rd. So, who knows if he'll be able to turn things around by then, although I doubt it. But hey, maybe he does. Maybe he figures out how to get things fresh again. And not putting fucking raw hamburger meat above the collard greens. What the fuck?
You don't put raw meat near vegetables. That's a big no.
That's
a big no.
You don't put raw meat near anything.
The only place where you should store raw meat is, like, either in the fridge, the freezer, or put it on the grill. Keep it away from other things. Jesus, fuck. So, yeah, that basically, after that horrifyingly stomach-churning thing, that basically covers all the news for this week. Now, we would cover the new album releases for this week, March 3rd, but obviously, this episode will be out a couple days after that date has passed. So instead, we're going to give you the new album releases for March 10th, 2017, of which there's a handful, but only really three of note. First, there's the newest album from metalcore veterans Darkest Hour titled Godless Prophets and the Migrant Flora. That's going to be pretty damn good, I guarantee you that much. Then there's the new album from thrash metalers Havoc, Conformicide. By the way, still not a real word. And last but not least, for our boy Mark here, there's a new album from Raekwon titled The Wild.
Right.
Yep. And so that'll just about cover everything we need to talk about for this week. So now is where we clean house and get the hell out of here, because how long have we been going on at this point? Shit, an hour and 17 minutes. Damn.
Fuck.
So let's try to make this as quick as we can. Alex, where can they find you on the internets?
Okay, let me see if I remember this. Aura of Azure? A-C-U-R-E, Azure, something like that? I'm sure y'all know what it is.
Yep. Mark, what about you?
On Twitter, Matt2HybridMedia. On my site, MattHybrid1, HybridOne.wordpress.com. Got new reviews of Seven Deadly Sins, OVA, Shamanetta, blah, blah. New shit coming out soon. Yeah. Okay,
Okay, as for me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Barracuda. You can also find me on YouTube at Rob Barracuda, where you're more than likely listening to this podcast. While you're listening, be sure to click on the bell tab and the subscribe button so that way you can always be immediately notified whenever new episodes of the podcast go up. And of course, this is the official music podcast of Surreal Resolution, which you can follow on Twitter at SurrealRezo and find online at www.surrealresolution.com. And find the podcast on its own subdomain, decibelboost.surrealresolution.com. You know, while you're there, listen to the archives of our past episodes. Listen to the gaming podcast, The Training Stage, where our buddies Tyler, Joey, and John give you a whole bunch of video game news. By the way, sorry about, like, the last episode. That's probably not going to come out as intended. The Kingdom Hearts segment will still happen, but, yeah, some shit went wrong on my end. Sorry.
What did you do?
Apparently there were too many issues with my recording as far as, like, the quality hitching and delaying, and Tyler couldn't get it fixed. Thankfully, I'm going to record everything on my laptop from now on, which apparently has enough processing power to handle Skype and Audacity at the same time, so it's all good. So, of course, be sure to read a lot of our great written content. Currently, we have weekly anime write-ups of Konosuba and Blue Exorcist Kyoto Saga. And, of course, joining the fray by next weekend, I'll finally start with my write-ups of the new season of Samurai Jack. Gotta get back.
It's almost here.
Back to the past. Samurai Jack. So close.
One more week.
Yeah, one more week.
One more. Of course, you can read some of our other content for movies and video games and all that shit. The Vinci Games! We'll probably be trying to step up the written content in the next month or so keep an eye out. Of course, be sure to jump into the Discord chat where there will be all kinds of shit posting, because who doesn't love memes? Memes, kids, they will save your life one day. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. A link to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll just about do it for this week's episode of the Decibel Boost Podcast. So, see ya next week, maybe, and until next time, fucking Suicide Squad, really?
Boo!